Okay, forgot to start the recorder. Okay, the volume's good? Okay. It's low for some? Right. I don't see how that's possible because I haven't changed anything, but I just jerked it up a little bit. How's it now? Is it okay now? Okay, okay, perfect, perfect. Okay, better. All right. All right. And for those of you listening on the recording, I forgot to start the recorder. We are now on page 2, the bottom of page 294 of chapter 16 of the Great Controversy. And okay, and it says, for 14 weeks, he says, I was sorely tossed in a bitter season, not knowing what bread or bed did mean. In other words, nowhere to sleep, nothing to eat. But going on, it says, but the ravens fed me in the wilderness, and a hollow tree often served him for a shelter. And that's from Martin's book, volume 5, page 349 and 350. Imagine that. The ravens, again, did like they did for Elijah. See how our Heavenly Father is? And this is even before the time that we can't buy and sell, that this is going on for this man. So she goes on. She says, thus he continued his painful flight through the snow and the trackless forest until he found refuge with an Indian tribe whose confidence and affection he had won while endeavoring to teach them the truths of the gospel. Making his way at last, after months of change and wandering, to the shores of Narragansett Bay, he there laid the foundation of the first state of modern times that in the fullest sense recognized the right of religious freedom. The fundamental principle of Roger Williams' colony was that every man should have liberty to worship God according to the light of his own conscience. It's from the same book we just quoted from earlier. Well, for those listening on the recording, that was from Bancroft's book, part 1, chapter... Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is volume 5. And it's not Bancroft's book either. It's from Martin's book, volume 5, page 354. So going on, his little state, Rhode Island, became the asylum of the oppressed, and it increased and prospered until its foundation principles, civil and religious liberty, became the cornerstones of the American Republic. In that grand old document, which our forefathers set forth as their Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, they declared, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And today, if you say that on a street corner with a megaphone, you end up in jail. Literally. Check out YouTube. You know, or if you're a preacher on a street corner and you start preaching and then you come up and you speak any part of the Constitution, you end up in jail. She goes on, and the Constitution guarantees in the most explicit terms the inviolability of conscience. No religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office of public trust under the United States. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. But yet in 1960, John F. Kennedy enacted the Blue Laws, which meant all government agencies are closed on Sundays. So she goes on, of course, quoting from the Constitution. She says from the congressional documents. She says the framers of the Constitution recognized the eternal principle that man's relation with his God is above human legislation, and his rights of conscience inalienable. Reasoning was not necessary to establish this truth. We are conscious of it in our own bosoms. It is this consciousness which, in defiance of human laws, has sustained so many martyrs in tortures and flames. They felt that their duty to God was superior to human enactments and that man could exercise no authority over their consciences. It is an unborn principle which nothing can eradicate. We were talking about this last night in Sister White's writings about how we keep it. I remember I was talking about how you take that, you can make a plaque and hang it in your house and just says, keep it. You know, when we have the law of God and the truth and within our bodies, we keep it within us. We keep it within our hearts to such an extent that we, no matter what, we would not bow to anything that mankind says to do. Okay, fine. They're not forcing us to have abortions, but it is legal to kill your babies in this country. But yet we keep the law within us, and the truth. And so we decide we won't do that. And so we can still continue on in our freedom, quote unquote, to some extent by just saying, okay, I'll just ignore that law and I just will never kill my babies. Okay. Or I'll never smoke or I'll never drink. Okay. Alcohol. Even though they say those things are legal and even though the Bible says those things are killing you and anybody that destroys the temple, God will destroy. And so we won't mess with stuff like that. But they, you know, of course say it's legal. But when the day comes, of course, when they try to force us to do certain things, it's already gotten to that point to some extent if you think about it. Because I know a lot of guys that don't like taking days off on work. They like to get, you know, and this is one of the reasons you see paid vacations to some extent or paid, you have holidays with pay because of the religious end of things. Let's say Christmas falls on a Tuesday. We being real Christians, we don't do Christmas. We know what it's all about. It has nothing to do with Christianity, and we know what happened, how Christmas actually came to this nation and what they went through. And this is, and we also know that that movie The Scrooge and all that stuff is more or less based on real historic events. The only difference is the Scrooge is actually the real Christian, and the so-called real Christians in the movie are the Catholics.